Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. So we are live on FirstAmendmentRadio.com or .net. If you're able, come on over to the chat room there at FirstAmendmentRadio.net and join the conversation. Otherwise, just continue listening wherever you're at and however you may be listening. Well, let's go with our scripture verse first for the day. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. It's always nice to remember where we've come from and where God is taking us and where we will end up. The hope of eternal life. If we don't have hope for eternal life, then we have nothing, because we're all just going to end up in the grave. And what is it good for? What's it all for? It's all for nothing. But thanks be to God that we have the hope of eternal life through Christ Jesus. And, you know, that hope is not available anywhere else. No one else is offering it. So read all about it yourself. Get your Bible out and pray as you read and ask God to reveal to you his kingdom and his salvation. And yes, it's a very important thing to get in this life. Okay, well, today we're going to this first hour, of course, we're going to talk about current events, worldview, and anything you want to talk about. We got a few people in the chat room there. Good morning, everybody. HH and Angle Chen and Tom W. are in the chat room, so come on over. And this first hour, we take phone calls, look for comments, questions, anything. It's kind of a free-for-all the first hour. Second hour, we're going to be jumping back into, I believe, part 9 of our, let's see, where is that at? Part 9 of The Beast Apocalyptic, going through the book that I just published. When I started the series on air, I hadn't finished the book yet, but I have it finished now, and I have it published as of about 10 days ago. The Beast Apocalyptic, an exposition of the apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. And I actually have my first proof copy right here in my hand, as you can see. There it is, the whole thing. So that's available there for you. And I'm going to tell you what, going through this study and doing this study and writing the book, if you can read this, and hopefully it's simple enough to understand as you go through it, it's me. I use E.B. Eliot there. I use Matthew Henry, because excellent expositors of the past, and I really can build very little upon the foundations that they laid with their excellent exposition. And I can only add to that which they had not and could not see in the day that they lived in. So when you get through this Beast Apocalyptic, an exposition of the apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation, once you have that information, once you know the truth about these symbols and what they represent, then when you read the Revelation, there'll be no doubt in your mind as to what you're reading about. I'm not saying you'll clearly understand every detail of the book, but you'll have a comprehensive outline of what's going on, if you understand who the characters are and what the symbols represent. And thank you for that. Stephen and Jace have joined the room there. The strain that stole Christmas. Yeah, we might talk about a little bit about that in the first hour there, Jace. I have some articles lined up for that, so let's see what we've got here. some very sad news. I don't know if you all remember, about a year ago, Dr. Andreas Nowak from Germany was doing a live video blog streamcast, like kind of like what I'm doing right now. And about 1 year ago, and the camera, the whole world was watching, or you can still watch now if you put Dr. Nowak in your DuckDuckGo search engine, as you see I have here on the screen. And this is what came up at the top. Another German whistleblower dead. Sadly, he was brutally murdered after his last podcast. He was outlining, and it's a very good podcast. You must see it. So I would go there, and you can review the whole thing of what happened to him a year ago when he was first raided by the police and then thrown in jail for telling the truth. So telling the truth can be dangerous, and they kind of caught him unawares because he wasn't watching out his front window. I have a window right here. I can see if anyone pulls up in front of my gate out there on the road, on the ranch. And I got 10 acres behind me, so they're not going to come the back way. But I'll see them coming, if they're ever coming for me like they came for Dr. Nowak. But we know one of these days that, you know, apparently, if we read our scripture, it's a great possibility that all of us truth-tellers, whistleblowers, and that stand up for the truth and stand against the Antichrist and his shadow government and their tyranny, because that's what we must do. We must stand against it. Yes, thank you, Jace says, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. Well, I don't know if I'm paranoid. Maybe there's a small degree of paranoia, but there's a heavy dose of the Spirit of God on me, as there should be on all of us. We all have that little nagging, you know, nobody wants to get arrested. No one wants to be brutally murdered like Dr. Andreas was. So if anything, hold up his family in prayer. It's got to be a tough time for them. His wife did a video talking about what happened to him. And it kind of breaks your heart, you know, to see the strength, and at the same time see the strength of this woman, but know how her heart is broken over losing her husband so brutally for standing up for the truth, and her standing straight up in his place and talking about it and not afraid, unafraid. Yeah, where does that kind of spirit come from? So another martyr for the truth out there. I don't know. I'd have to believe for anyone to make that kind of stand that there must be some kind of faith there, because most people would cower in fear unless they have some supernatural strength, you know, the kind that only comes from the Holy Spirit. So anyway, sad news there. You can check that out for yourself. I'll just put a link in the chat room to the same search I did, and you can check that out for yourself there. And like I said, if you do, his wife did a video, and you can search that. I believe it's on the same channel. 1 year and then 11 months. Yeah. Anyway, sad news. Okay, what else do we have here on our list? And now here's an article. This is another doctor, Vernon Coleman. I believe he's British. I've seen some of his videos. And this I found at lewrockwell.com. And he's asking the question, how many people have been murdered with the transhuman jab? Yeah. And so that's there for you. And now they're moving down to infants, teenagers, young adults are dying after getting the transhuman jab. You know, the Antichrist isn't happy with mankind. The Antichrist wants to destroy mankind or wants to change them into his own image. So what a better way to do it than to find some old defunct computer guy and use the power of money that comes from only from the Antichrist, the billions of dollars, because the only people who make billions of dollars are those that are doing the bidding of the Antichrist. Believe it. That's the world we live in today. We may have some millionaires out there, but millionaires are like nothing anymore. They're like a dime a dozen. But billionaires, yeah, you better know. And any great wealthy families, they're all infiltrated. Any great businesses or corporations, no matter what their beginnings, they will be infiltrated by the Antichrist and his shadow government. As a matter of fact, they wrote the playbook so many years ago, their own instructions on how to infiltrate, families of power and families of money and take over that wealth. And they do, and you can watch them do it over and over. So a lot of people, it's like I was watching Rick Wiles on his True News, I believe it was yesterday, and he's talking about, oh, the Antichrist, we're good, expecting to see him come up any time now. And it still doesn't get it. He let go of the rapture idea. Come on, man. I think he just has too many Catholics around him and he's afraid of offending them. Well, you know what? If they're true lovers of Jesus, they won't be offended. They might become Protestants. They might follow the call of God when he said, come out of her, speaking of that great harlot church, come out of her, my people. So he's continuing to call his people. He's been calling his people out of the harlot church for many, many, many years. I mean, you'd think, well, how would there even be any of God's people in that harlot church after all these years? Well, here's the whole thing. You know, it's like there's a saying, God has no grandchildren, because I have children, you know, and because they're born to me, a man who has been adopted into God's family. Because that's the best I could say, is that God adopted me, because, you know, it wasn't by any merit of mine that I'm in his family. But then my children are born in the world, but they must be born again, Jesus said. So he has no grandchildren. This, in the same way, it's the opposite in the great apostate church. So you have to be born again into the true Israel of God, the true church. Okay. But you may be born physically into the universal Roman church. And I was born into it because my family was Catholic. And so I was born into it, but was never idol worshiping and all that stuff. I was just like a pagan, which I believe most Catholics are. They just take their wafer once or twice a year or something. Some of them are a little more devout and they make sure they go every week for the bloodless sacrifice that's offered up there, that miraculous shenanigan that they pull off every week. But God is calling his people out. Let's get back to the point there, that God is calling his people out continually, even today, because they're good people. They attend that as devout to their parents, and they do what their family did. And then one day they read the Bible, and something supernatural happens. They're enlightened by the Word of God, because I have to say that's what happened to me. Someone gave me a Bible and I started reading it, and then I met the Heavenly Father. I met the Holy Spirit on the road, and I was offered the adoption, not because I was good or great or anything, because I wasn't. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. Anyway, as I was saying, there was nothing I could do. I was on the road to hell when God, by his own providence and for his own reasons, which I cannot fathom, decided to intervene one day and offer me the adoption. And there was nothing I did great after that for a long time. It's taken, what, 45? How many years has it been? It's almost 50, 40, almost 50 years now since that day I met. I had my encounter on the road to Plymouth. You know, Paul had his Damascus Road experience. I had my Plymouth Road experience. And yeah, God works. And, you know, long time coming here, you know, to where I am today. But he never gave up on me, and he said he would complete the work, and so I can see the completing process is still going on. Yeah. Same for all of you there. But anyway, we're talking about our article here. How many people have been murdered by the transhuman jab? Satan wants to transform humanity because he hates God and he hates man that was made in the image of God. So he wants to transform them to any and pervert them in any way he can. And if he has to, and he wants to kill a whole bunch of us, while we're in our lost condition along the way. So he has been a murderer from the beginning and he remains a murderer to this day. And he has his minions on earth doing that murdering for him right now out in the open. I mean, we're in World War III, come to think of it. If I have to put it so bluntly, we are in World War III. This is it. More people are going to die from the transhuman jab in the next few years that probably have died from all of their world wars over the last century and a half. Yeah. Seems to be that way. That seems to be the consensus of many independent doctors who have nothing to gain but scorn and ridicule for speaking that truth. I'll believe them before I'll believe someone like, Anthony Mengele, or is it Joseph Fauci? Am I getting my people mixed up here or something? And speaking of, oh my. I bought a copy of RFK's The Real Anthony Fauci. I bought the Kindle edition. And anyway, I found this article here. I'm going to read it. I'm going to start reading it, this coming weekend. Got a lot on my plate. But I'm going to start reading it. And anyway, I got this from Thomas DiLorenzo on LouRockwell.com. The most striking fact in Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s new book. He says, I just got my copy of RFK Jr.'s The Real Anthony Fauci. Flipping through the first couple chapters, one thing really stood out. That Anthony Fauci dispenses some $7 billion in research grants to public health researchers all over the world. Is that a year? That might be annually. $7 billion. Anthony Fauci is the king of dispensations to the tune of $7 billion in research grants to public health researchers all over the world. He has held that position for 30 years. This means that for 30 years, there has been a one-man monopoly control over virtually all public health-related peer review. This proves in spades what a clownish, lying, incompetent, corrupt stooge Fauci is when he responds to criticism with statements like, everyone I know agrees with me on this, or I am science. That's a new one. Yeah, everyone who works for him and is paid by him or wishes to work for him and be paid by him with taxpayers' money. This means that public health peer review is a joke and a fraud. No other profession in the world would be taken seriously if one single government bureaucrat was effectively in charge of all the professional publications in the entire field. Wow. What an insight from Tom DiLorenzo into the reading of Fauci's book. Yeah. I mean, I got stuck on the part where he was, because I was an orphan. I was a real orphan, okay? And I had been in foster homes. And Anthony Fauci, experimented on orphans and foster children for years and killed many of them. And you can find that in this book too. The book is like $2.99 or something, or $3 or $4, whatever. It's just a few dollars, less than $10 to get a Kindle version of it. It's number one seller. And this book needs to be read. It needs to be spread around. Buy a copy, give it away to someone who will read it. Share the facts, because if we could take down this Anthony Mengele, yeah, he is an Anthony Mengele. He is our Joseph Mengele. He is our Nazi doctor. That's who this guy really is. A very powerful man. That's why he can do everything he's done and lie and cheat and steal and profit from the death of everyone and the sicknesses and all the adverse events from this transhuman jab. And he's still put up there in front of the world spouting out his nonsense even today. Yeah. We should be angry. It makes me angry. And I believe it's a righteous anger. This man needs to be judged. He needs to be held accountable, not in the afterlife merely, but he needs to be held accountable. Who knows? He might repent if he's held accountable. Yeah. He might repent. Yeah. But still, any man who's done what this man has done and then repents would accept whatever sentence that was handed down to him, because it would be well deserved. Midget Mengele, huh? Yeah. Yes, he is. Yeah. Just reading some comments there in the chat room. Got Bob, Jace, Steven, and Ellie, and Fireman Mike. Good to see you again here, Fireman Mike from Ohio. And who else do we have in the HH in the chat room? I don't know who HH is. Angle Chen and Tom W. all in the chat room. So come on over to the chat room and join the conversation. We got another half hour of this free-for-all. But anyway, I'm going to read a second paragraph. It's just two paragraphs here. I guess I'll read the second paragraph when I get back from these messages. You're listening Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a prophecy reality edition, and you get a worldview, yeah, that you won't find out there practically anywhere else. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're talking about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s new book, The Real Anthony Fauci. And I suggest everyone get a copy of that. Like I said, it's a few dollars for a Kindle version on Amazon. I don't know where else you can buy it. Or you can buy it. He suggests you buy it from your local bookstore. We have no local bookstores here anymore. They're all gone. Sorry to say. I guess in the big city they may have enough business to do a local bookstore, but not here in the sticks where I live. So, but it's a bestseller on many lists right now, and it should stay there for a while because this needs to be read, and this nation needs to turn on this monster, because this man is a monster. He is a true Nephilim. If you want to use that word, he truly is a monster. Your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, Nicholas. Fireman Mike.
Hey, Mike.
I just wanted to put it out there, and I'll put the title and the authors in the chat, but another good read is a book called What Really Makes You Ill, and then there's kind of a long subtitle to it. It's by Don Lester and David Parker, and it's just amazing. It's a 10-year research study they did, and there's hundreds of references to other studies in the back of the book, and it's just mind-blowing information.
So it sounds like a good read.
Oh, the whole polio thing is a lie.
Yeah.
The polio vaccine probably caused polio, and
unfortunately, that seems to be the case. That's what happened in Africa, and they kicked Gates out of many countries in Africa.
Oh yeah, I mean,
because of that.
How corrupted the thing is.
But, yeah.
So what they told the docs, and I'm almost done here. I don't want to tie you up. When the polio began to boom after the vaccine, they said, basically, long story short, they told the docs, well, yeah, they're polio-like symptoms, but we're just going to call it multiple sclerosis now, muscular dystrophy.
Oh, wow.
We're going to call it Lou Gehrig's disease, and there's like three other diseases. I mean, those are polio.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's just, I mean, nothing but lies, but these people did a good job on this book. I'll put the information in the chat in case anybody wants to pick this book up. I think you can get it on Amazon. But anyway, I'll put the information in it.
All right, Mike. Thanks. I'll be looking for that.
Okie doke.
Bye. Yeah, there's a lot of good alternate medical information out there. But right now we're in a war. And, well, that's part of the war is learning as much as you can to maintain your own health and stay out of their system as much as possible. See, that's why I'm not worried about it. I don't collect socialist security. I'm not on Medicaid. I don't want anything to do with doctors. I haven't seen a doctor since I was in my 20s once. When I had a sinus infection, I went to a doctor and told him I needed antibiotics, and he gave me antibiotics, and that was my... And before that, I had only seen a doctor for physicals when I was an orphan and in foster care because they do physicals. That's it. That's my doctor history. When I get sick, I research for myself. I do a lot of research, and I make sure that I supplement and I eat well, and I don't have to worry about a lot of these things. And I try to eat the diet that God created for us to eat, because I think that's the safest way to go, is to eat the food that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those that believe and know the truth. There you go. So... anyway, continuing here with Thomas DiLorenzo's article, the most striking fact in Robert F. Kennedy's book, telling you that he is the god of money in medicine. Yeah, he dispenses $7 billion a year, and he's been the dispenser of these billions, however much it's been over the 30 years. And what Fauci doesn't control through government funding, other government bureaucrats at the NIH and elsewhere do. They are Fauci wannabes in this corrupt, stinking, fraudulent field of public health. No wonder Dr. Scott Atlas, a real doctor and medical researcher, was so shocked at the immense incompetence he was exposed to while serving on President Trump's COVID task force and sitting through meetings with dopey Fauci and that goofy scarf woman. He told Tucker Carlson that the two of them seemed 100% detached from and unaware of the relevant science and did nothing but repeat leftist lockdown masking, you must obey, jab every child, shut down all the schools and churches talking points without even discussing any scientific basis for any of it. And that's what we're still up against. That's why no matter how much truth comes out, no matter what happens, they just kind of roll right over the truth and they continue on with their agenda. Because they have the money and they have bought out the media. So they just continue on and on it goes. And that's the state of the union, the state of the world, really. This lockstep transhuman jab nonsense is going on all over the world. Yes, from Fire of My, what makes you ill? Why everything you thought you knew about disease is wrong? Don Lester and David Parker. That's the book. I think I've read things like that, I'm sure. But yeah, there are a few good books out there. What really makes you ill? Well, I know what keeps me healthy. For an old man who's looking at 70 years, I'm gonna hit my 70 here, Lord willing, within a couple of years. So, I must be doing something right. I've been supplementing with Dr. Wallach's Longevity, which used to be Longevity. Was it the Ultimate Classic? 90 essential minerals and vitamins, plus some other enzymes and stuff. So there's a lot of stuff in this power pack stuff. And there are a few other formulas out there like that, but there's only a few, I have to tell you. And then on top of that, I supplement with lysine and essential fatty acids. What else? And a few other things. I take probiotics. I drink kombucha tea, occasionally. I don't drink it all the time, but probably at least occasionally 3 or 4 times a week just to keep my flora and with the probiotics and the enzymes. And I find out, they say all these things prevent you from getting viruses and getting colds and from getting COVID. And I go, oh, no wonder I haven't caught anything for years. You know, I've been sick on very few occasions over the last so many years that I don't get the yearly colds. And I watch people come and go around me with these things, and I'm not even worried about getting them. And I know sometimes I get a little tickle in my throat or something, and I start spraying away or atomizing the hydrogen peroxide and breathing that in, spraying it in my mouth to kill all the bacteria, because I don't need it going down my throat and it up into my sinuses, you know. So natural immunity, without which true real vaccines would not work. So, and this new transhuman jab destroys your immune system. If you start reading up on Anthony Fauci, you find out how much he's right in the middle of this and right in the middle of every terrible disease that has come up, like HIV and AIDS. He's right in the middle of it. He may be the father of it, for all I know, our Anthony Mengele or Joseph Fauci. Yeah, maybe they're related. Who knows? They could be. Yeah, I haven't even got a cold or a flu or anything since they launched their stupid COVID thing a year and a half or 2 years ago, whatever it's been. Nothing. Haven't got nothing. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. It seems to work. I get plenty, you know, I get an adequate amount of exercise. I could probably get more, but I've already exercised this morning. I worked up a little sweat, got the old cardio going this morning on my jogger. As I was watching something on some news programs on the laptop there in front of me, so I can jog while I do stuff like that, or listen to some good preaching. Yes, sir. No transhuman jab. It's not a vaccine. It's not that. It never was that. These liars. Deceivers, they went behind the scenes and they changed the definition of the word, but they didn't tell the world, hey, we changed the definition, that what you think you're getting ain't what it was when you learned the definition of the word. It's not what it is when you say it, because you're using an old definition. We got a new definition so we can push something on you that is not what you think it is. They're liars and deceivers. Why would they have to do this unless they were lying and deceiving? Yes, if we do a really good job, says the billionaire oligarch, if we do a really good job, we can kill a whole bunch of people and reduce the population of the world. And that's part of their agenda. And it's working very well for them, I have to unfortunately say. It's working very well for them. It's very sad. It's a sad moment for humanity. I never could have thought, dreamed that that I would see what I'm seeing today. When I try to think about how the end time scenario from the Revelation is going to play out, this scenario never entered into my mind. Though now that I see it, and I see the research on it, I see that they have actually been working on this for 20 or more years. If you go back to 1986, when Anthony Mengele gave a free pass to all the pharmaceutical companies. You know, if they and he weren't planning this then, I know that their God, Satan, was planning it ever since then. Why would they have done that? That goes against everything that America stands for and has been founded on, to give them a free pass, no liability whatsoever, to overthrow the free market. Yeah, because the free market would have overthrown that whole industry. But they took away our right to sue for damages, those that damage us. And you know there's something wrong with that. Only Satan would love that. Or someone like Joseph Mengele, of course. He enjoyed the same privilege in Nazi Germany. It is terrible to think about, Jace. It is terrible to think about, but this is the reality that we're living with today. And I just pray that, you know, that this can come to an end, or that somehow this can be stopped, that, you know, that men like this monster could be held responsible, and his minions, because if he goes down, he's going to take others with him. And that's probably what they're afraid of most. But, you know, I don't even have hope for that, because I see that this, we used to be a nation of laws where it didn't matter what your status was, what your stature was, you know, what party you belonged to, how high you were in the government, or how low you were in society. You were held to the same law and to the same punishment under the law. But as we can plainly see today, that that is not the case. It is not the case. As a matter of fact, they're working to make it intentionally turn us into a lawless society. Why would anyone do such a thing? Because they work for Satan. That's the only answer there is. They work for Satan. They hate mankind. They hate their fellow man. They want to kill them. They want to destroy their health. They want them to suffer, because they're doing the bidding of their master, Satan, the god of this world. For all those people out there saying that Satan has been locked up so that he can't deceive the nations, I don't know what fantasy you're living under. I look forward to the day when Satan is chained up and thrown into the pit for 1,000 years, just to see how different the world will be, and to know at the same time that there will be those, even without the influence of Satan in the world, who will turn against the truth because of sin. Okay, let's see, what else do we got here? COVID is too big to fail, huh? Yeah, the common cold. Who would have thunk, right? That you could take the common cold, or which, you know, I think it's a matter of degrees. The more unhealthy you are, it graduates from common cold, minor symptoms, to an outright flu with major symptoms, depending on the health of your body. And if you're healthy for whatever reason, you may have suffered poisoning, or you just may have a really crappy diet, or you may be being poisoned by your allopathic practitioner, or you may be being poisoned by the food and the drugs you're taking. Yeah. Whatever reason, the worse your health is, they call it comorbidities now, the more severe. Yeah. As probably everyone on earth is a carrier of COVID. We're all asymptomatic carriers. But I don't think we're spreading it unless it's growing in us, because I learned it's all about environment. You know, your body has an environment. If your environment is rancid and putrid and sick, well, then you're going to be sick. But if your environment is healthy, well, you're going to be healthy. Your immune system is going to work. If your immune system's already overtaxed and being destroyed, then you're going to get sick and die. But then if you're intentionally injected with a transhuman jab that destroys your immune system so that you can become a ward, or a client of the pharmaceutical state, pharmakia, well, that's all fairly much by design. Yeah. So if you can get Robert Kennedy Jr.'s book on the real Anthony Fauci, because it's more than just about Anthony Fauci. You can read the subtitle here. You can see it here. It says the real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the global war on, well, democracy and public health. And that's where he would go with it, democracy and public health. But that doesn't change the monstrosities that are revealed in this book, because, you know, perhaps Robert Kennedy is a little more liberal than we are in his leanings. But He's the old kind of Democrat liberal, you know, the kind of Democrat liberal that his uncle and his father were. I mean, his uncle and his father were. Yeah, that's the kind of liberal he is. Not this new fascist, communist liberal that we got running around out there now, doing everything they can to destroy everything that made this nation great and made this nation what it is today and what it should be. Out to destroy the very foundations of our republic. Of course, because he's a liberal, he would use the word democracy instead. Everyone needs a little education. but he's a warrior, a real warrior for the people there, Robert Kennedy Jr. is. But anyway, there it is. The real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, got to get him in there because he's a big part of this thing. Big Pharma and the global war on public health from the Children's Health Defense. And all the proceeds go to his work that he's doing with the Children's Health Defense. So he didn't get much in proceeds from me. I only spent, I think it was $2.99 or $3.99, something like that, for getting a Kindle version of the book. Okay, let's see. Many docs are now saying that side effects are not side effects. They are effects, period. Well, that doesn't make me feel better about... in that case, go ahead and jab me. Yeah, in that case, yeah. Not side effects, they're just effects. Yeah. It's just crazy the things that people will say. Anyway, we're coming up on the end of this hour. So the phone lines are now closed. And we're going to jump into, in the next hour, The Beast Apocalyptic, an exposition of apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. We're doing part 9, and there's probably going to be, I don't know how many parts after that, maybe one or two more after today. We'll see. I don't know. I'm near the end of the book. And now I can actually look at the book because I have a copy of it. I'm on, let's see, okay. I'm on Chapter 7, Mystery Babylon and the Beast Powers. And like I said, we're going doing an exposition on every chapter of the Bible that has to do with the Beast Powers and related symbols. So that brings us to... we have some in chapter 14, 17. It brings us to those last chapters of the Revelation leading up to up to chapter 20 or the millennium. I've got quotes here from 17, 14, chapter 13, and let's see what else do we have here. I guess the main chapter I'm into here is, it looks like chapter 17 is our main one for this. Yes, got some from 18 here too. We start out at chapter 14 though. So, and then after that, which we'll probably do next week, we'll probably close it out next week with our chapter 8 conclusion of the matter, where we try to wrap up and do a synopsis on our definition and what we've learned about the beast power and related symbols. But I think once you have this, because there's a lot of confusion out there, what the beast is, what are the related symbols, what do the related symbols mean? But you have to learn them all together because they're all connected to one another. And we have to get our determination, our interpretation of these symbols from the scripture, because anything else is not acceptable. We can't settle on something outside or something someone said, or, hey, look, three guys in the past agreed on this, but I can't find it anywhere in the scripture. So someone made it up and then they repeat, then a couple other guys repeated it. And that's usually what you have. And then you have people today still going, oh, well, they must have been right. But they don't look to the scripture and go, no, this isn't quite right. There's nothing like this in the scripture. This is an assumption or a guess or a speculation of some sort that's not founded on Scripture. And why did they do that? Well, I figured out the reason why some of them did it was because these things were yet future, and they were trying to fit them into the past. So that's an error. But fortunately, we're getting to the end, and we can see almost everything. I believe that we're close enough that none of these things should be hidden. Okay, well, stick around and come back after the news and some messages. I will be back.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And in this segment, we're going to jump into what will be part 9 of going through the beast apocalyptic. And when we left off last time, we had just finished up on chapter 13, I believe, at our exposition having to do with the topic there. Let's see. We are now in chapter 7 of the book, Mystery Babylon and the Beast Powers. Revelation 14:8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. As the New Testament era opens, the Chaldean city of Babylon merely exists as subjugated to the Roman Empire, certainly not reaching to the greatness of the city here described. The complete descriptor at Revelation 17:5 is most revealing. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth. Mystery Babylon. So we understand that we are not talking about a literal Babylon here. A mystery is what is literal. She is referred to in the feminine, like the church, and a mother, not the masculine character of the beast powers. She is a church, but she is an unfaithful harlot church. She does not stay in the proper sphere of church government. She commits fornication with the civil rulers in order to obtain the power she so desperately covets. She is the mother of that great falling away, headed by the man of sin, who is called the son of perdition. She is the mother of harlots and abominations. The term abominations here should bring to mind the abomination that maketh desolate, being a wrong sacrifice in the temple of God. She offers a bloodless sacrifice in contradistinction to what the Scripture declares. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Her man of sin sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Let us not forget that the New Testament church is the temple of God. Revelation 17:1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The early church fathers, until the fall of Imperial Rome, certainly had an argument for the city of Rome as the capital of the Roman Empire, qualifying as Babylon. But we are talking about a great apostate church here, one that sitteth upon many waters. The symbolic use of waters, as we have learned, represents peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. No longer confined to the old world in our present day, she can now be found on many waters, everywhere on the face of the earth, offering her counterfeit bloodless sacrifice, idolatries, and numerous other abominations to the inhabitants of the earth, the whole earth. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with fine gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now we understand the relationship between the woman, Mystery Babylon, and the beast. She rides or controls the scarlet-colored beast, the red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, as opposed to the woman clothed with the sun, the true church driven into the wilderness. Her seat of power, the Vatican, is located in that city, represented as that little horn out of the ten horn powers. That little horn, being given a mouth speaking blasphemy, identifies it as a religious power. The mouth of the little horn is that man of sin, also called the Antichrist, who opposes the true Christ, and the false prophet, who takes the place of Moses' true prophet, the Messiah that Israel was waiting for. This false prophet is cast into the lake of fire with the beast to perdition. Verse 6, And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, John said. No organization on the face of the earth is responsible for the death of more Bible-believing Christians, whom they labeled heretics, than the Roman Catholic Church, with its headquarters at the Vatican. The Vatican is the little horn, and so qualifies, as it does have a sovereign status among the nations of the world, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The Vatican is located in the same city that was the capital of the pagan imperial Roman Empire. Revelation 18:24. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The number of her victims, of the witnesses or martyrs of Jesus, easily numbers into the hundreds of millions over the last 1,500 years. Wherever there is genocide, wherever thousands or millions have perished in political convulsions. You will find her agents, and you will find blood on her hands. Even today, you will find her shadow government there, behind the obvious, under cover of several layers of culpable deniability. She does not want to be openly seen, as in her past inquisitions. She hopes to evade the retribution for her crimes, a retribution she felt in the past, that near-deadly head wound. Nevertheless, her judgment will come. Observe. Revelation 16, 17 and 19. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices, and thunders, and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Her judgment does come. A woman rides the beast. Revelation 17:7. And the angel said to me, speaking to John, "Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition." Here she comes, riding the beast out of the bottomless pit, for what will be her final act. Here are the several phases of the Roman beast, as it carries the mother of harlots. It was, and is not, and shall ascend before it goes to perdition. This is repeated with a slight variation before the verse closes. Observe, "And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is." Chapter 13 gives us a little more detail as to the circumstance of these phase changes in this, the Roman or sea beast in its final manifestation. Revelation 13:3, "And I saw one of its heads, as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. They that dwell in the earth shall wonder. All the world wondered after the beast." The beast obviously was, before one of its heads seemed to be wounded to death. It had seven heads. This state of apparent death answers to the is not and yet is phase. And of course the healing answers to the and shall ascend phase. Also notice the adulation or comparable wonder that the beast receives in both of the above illustrations. And there is more. It is written at verse 14, "The beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." Here we observe that this beast received its head wound by a sword and did live, a further witness of our correct harmony in synchronizing these verses, as well as ascertaining the cause of its temporary demise and subsequent resurrection. Warfare, or a sword, was the mode of judgment and the cause of what appeared to be its near death. The Vatican lost its sovereignty after 1260 years of overt tyranny imposed by its false miracles, deceptions, and fornication with the several ten horns of the sea beast locality. But it did not die. Only one of its seven heads had been wounded. By her cunning and intrigue, she has regained her sovereignty and now exercises a tyranny unparalleled, under the shadow of practiced deception and international intrigue, so much so that she is about to implement her Mark of the Beast system on the entire planet. Revelation 17:9. "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. These seven hills or mountains only point us to the domicile of the woman, that we may identify her and so unravel the enigma. E.B. Eliot, Matthew Henry, the great reformers, and numerous early church fathers all agree and direct us to the famed seven-hilled city of Rome to look there for the seat of this blasphemous, adulterous, apostate church. There we will find her headquarters. A riddle of king or beast powers. Now we turn to the enigma of the beast powers, that we might rightly determine their place and interaction with the people of God in history. Observe, Revelation 17, 10 and 11. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast, that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. To avoid confusion here, we look at the Greek for the word kings, basileus, meaning a sovereignty or foundation of power, so not necessarily a singular king or man. Verse 11 interchanges the word beast, the Greek therion, in reference to those kings, so clarifying the use in this context, being the same apocalyptic term that is the object of our exposition. Therefore, we understand that there are seven beast powers. Five had fallen in history at the time that John receives the revelation, 95 AD. Following our established hypothesis that the revelation only concerns powers having to do with the people of God, we must reach into history, into the history of the Hebrew nation, for the previous powers that it interacted with. Five had fallen. One, Egypt. Two, Assyria. Three, Babylon. Four, Medo-Persia. And five, Greece. The one is, would be the Roman beast, present at the time when it exiled John to Patmos. 6. Rome. This leaves one other beast, which is not yet come, to appear sometime in the future afterwards, after 95 AD, of course, which must be the beast revealed in chapter 13 as the earth beast. 7. America. Then one of the former seven reasserts itself at the end and is enumerated as the eighth. Because it is the Roman beast that goes to perdition when Christ returns, it must be the sixth that reasserts itself as the eighth when its deadly head wound is healed. 8. Rome, the Babylon whore, acting vicariously through the image of the beast. Now we get more detail into the divisions of power represented by the horns of this beast. Verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. About 95 AD, when John penned the Revelation, these divisions of the beast's power, represented by the 10 horns, had received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Some interpret the 1 hour by the day-year principle, which would represent a literal period of about 2 weeks. However, the context seems to imply something quite different. Chapter 18 gives even more details of the events described, where the period of time designated as 1 day at Revelation 18:8 is also called 1 hour in verses 10, 17, and 19, clearly indicating that the time is neither literal nor precise, but rather a brief period of time, unspecified as to its precise length. Therefore, it seems preferable to understand the expression 1 hour here in the same sense, as signifying a brief but unspecified period of time. Verse 13. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These 10 in various divisions of the Roman Empire speedily succeeded their power to the beast and the whore which it carried. The various kings, parliaments, prime ministers, and governors of these divisions over the history of the 1260-year epoch in view rarely ruled independently of the power and strength of the beast controlled by the apostate whore. Verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Here we look forward to the end in view for the beast power, that is the time foretold when it goeth into perdition, when Christ returns with all of his saints, who will never again be overcome by their enemies, but rather will overcome them. However, in the meantime, the beast power will make war with the Lamb, and of course with his saints. Verse 15, And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Here the angel does regress to explain the meaning of the many waters on which the great whore is seated in verse 1, being a highly populated area of different nations, of various languages, easily identified as Western Europe, the old world locality of the Western Roman Empire, which rose up out of the sea rather than the earth at the era indicated. Verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Though judgment had previously fallen on the seat of the beast, Revelation 16:10, where the whore sat when it received its wound by the sword, the 10 divisions experiencing that same judgment nevertheless did not repent. Revelation 16:9. Here we see a total and complete desolation where they, the horn powers which she used and abused or committed fornication with, will finally turn on her and burn her with fire. Verse 17, For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. May we always be assured that no matter what the circumstance of the world around us and our place in it, it is the will of God and his purpose that rules. Verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. The emphasis, the importance of understanding just who and what this great apostate whore church is again asserted. God does not want his elect to be mistaken whatsoever about the identity of this woman, where her seat is, and what she represents. Okay, we're coming up on the end of this chapter here. Let me see how much have I got here to go. Looks like we got quite a bit to go here. And then after that, the conclusion of the matter, we'll save that for next week. We'll finish up this and perhaps look for discussion, comments, questions, anything in the chat room to fill in the end of the hour. But we're coming up on the judgment and fall of Mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 18. And so we'll go through that and comment on it. And next week we'll do, well, I guess, part 10. We'll be 10 parts. The conclusion of the matter, I believe, will take us 1 hour. So we'll see when we get there how long it takes. Maybe 2 parts. I don't know. I'll just have to see how it goes. So anyway, I'm looking for any comments or questions, anything that I've discussed or revealed to you in the last half hour. I would like to address any comments or questions from those listening in the chat room. So get them in there before this coming bottom of the hour break, and I can address them immediately upon coming back, and then we can finish up on the judgment and fall of Mystery Babylon when we come back. Anyway, you're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. And as I said before, in this segment or this hour, we're going through the Beast Apocalyptic, the latest book I've written. So you can get it all. You don't have to buy the book. You can go back and you can listen to, starting with part one. They're all there on my YouTube page. And I guess on the last one, I'll put a link to the list. Yeah, the entire series of the list will be on the last link. That'll be next week. I'll publish it all. But you can go look for them now yourself. They're, if you just scroll down at my website, you can find them all there, listed from part one to part nine today, and then part 10 next week, Lord willing. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Go not anywhere. I will return. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're in the middle of part 10 of the Beast Apocalyptic, our exposition of the apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. Let's see, the chapter we're in, we left off in Mystery Babylon and the Beast Powers. What a powerful chapter, just redoing it. It's praise God for this exposition that I could share this with you. We're down to our section on the judgment and fall of Mystery Babylon, Revelation 18, 1 through 3. After all these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. The God of Mystery Babylon is not God the Father, who art in heaven and his government, but this unfaithful woman covets the temporal power of the kingdoms of this world and commits fornication with the rulers of those governments rather than submit to the King of Heaven, Jesus, who rejected that very temptation when tested in the wilderness. Truly, their God is the God of this world. If there be any elect, if any that love the Creator more than they love the creation, any that prefer the true gospel to the false miracles and idolatry that surrounds them in this apostate congregation, that they, by whatever circumstance, find themselves in, the true Heavenly Father here calls to them, come out of her, my people. Verse 18, chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. This is a call to all the universal, the members of the universal Roman Catholic Church that truly love Jesus. He calls you to come out. If they do not worship the true God of heaven, what is that spirit lurking behind all of the idolatry, false sacrifice, and spiritual fornication of this great city, Mystery Babylon? Only the Scripture can answer this question. Observe, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. Ezekiel 28:16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall thou be any more. It is astonishing that we see Satan anthropomorphized in the illustration of Mystery Babylon by the similarity between the Ezekiel and the Revelation text here. Observe Revelation 18:5, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill her double. How much hath she glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls, of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manners of vessels of most precious wood, and of all brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city, that with clothes and fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company of ships and sailors, and as many as trade by the sea, stood afar off, and cried when they saw the smoke for burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads, and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein we were made rich, all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more in thee at all. And the light of a candle shall shine no more in thee at all. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more in thee at all. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Verse 24, And in her was found the blood of prophets, and of the saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. We take notice of the overwhelming use of the feminine pronouns here, which, as we have learned, when apocalyptically ascribed, point to the church. In this case, the church is explicitly apostate. Mystery Babylon is found upon many waters, the nations, peoples, and tongues over the whole earth. Therefore, the city being described is a spiritual city, though its earthly capital is expressly defined. In the same way, we find that the true and faithful church is described as the city of the living God, whose capital is above and not earthly, and the mother of us all. Observe Hebrews 12:28. 22 and 24. But you are come to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. And Galatians 4:26, but the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Finally, we see the end in view for the beast and them that worship the image, and the false prophet, who is the man of sin, or that line of men, which line will here come to its end. Revelation 19:17-21. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And that's the end of that chapter. Next week, we will jump into the conclusion of the matter. And we're going to wrap it all up. And as I said, by the time you get done with this exposition, you may have to read it 3 or 4 times. And I made it easy enough. It's, I'm on page 91 so far. It's about 110 pages in all. So a very easy read. And it's 12-point print, so it's not real small. It is a short and sweet study to bring to you a clear interpretation of the beast power and related symbols, the beast apocalyptic, an exposition of the apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. Then when you read the Revelation or you hear words like beast and, you know, all of these related words and symbols that are used, like image, the image of the beast, what the mark of the beast is, it's all in here. It's all there, easy for you to understand. And when you understand the truth, then when someone says something that is not true, you easily recognize it as not true. That's the way the knowledge of the truth works, because you study God's word and you have it in you and you know the truth when someone says something that doesn't quite jibe with what you have learned from God's word. You're going to go, that doesn't sound right. And then you may turn to God's word to clarify, no, that is wrong. Or you might go, I missed that. And, I didn't quite see that before, but we always go to God's word to ferret out any idea, any expression or interpretation, or anyone says that the word of God says this or that. We're going to go to the word of God and we're going to check it out. We've become intimate with the truth. And that's the reason for reading God's word and becoming intimate with it, so that you know, when you hear something that isn't true, you immediately recognize it as not true. That's what it, because you don't study deception to learn about deception. That way you learn confusion. No, you study the truth. And then when you hear a deception, you recognize it as not true. Okay. So, any comments or questions? Okay, and we do do these nations turn on the whore before or after Christ returns? I believe, about time in the chat room, that these nations turn on the whore before Jesus returns. That's my feeling on it. And because he puts it into their heart to do it. So they're acting as his agents in that respect. But later when he returns, the beast and its armies assemble to do battle with him. But they destroy the whore before that happens, it appears to me. So, and I believe that's clear, and I hope I've clearly, that's clear upon, but that's a good question. But I think I have that chronology expressed adequately in the book, and maybe that's something, if I did a revision, I might express that a little more adequately. But I believe that you'll get that if you, anyone reads the book or goes through the whole series again and listens to it as I, through these 10 segments or 10 hours. Okay, let's see. Tom W. here has a question. Seems to me all these variants are Satan-led. Nicholas, you speak of the whore that rides the beast as the RCC. What about the Evangelibellies, a.k.a. the corporate church, Zionists, the Talmudic Jews, scribes and Pharisees that Yeshua rebuked all throughout the scripture? All these groups are part of the whore. Yes, they are. She is the mother of harlots. So anything that is corrupted by her and her agents. And we know that she has an army that acts as invisibly as possible, infiltrating into every church, every cult, everything on earth, infiltrating everywhere it can, into all the seminaries, into all the public schools. That's how she works. She corrupts them all. She doesn't care if they join. Satan doesn't care if they join her church or not. She just doesn't want them to have the truth, because those are the ones that she persecutes, those that speak the truth. So, yes, I agree. These are all variants. These are all Satan-led, because that is their God. And that's kind of what we get revealed there in the Mystery Babylon chapter. You're welcome about time in the chat room. Yeshua, I believe, was contracted by Ezra to Yeshua or Joshua in the Bible as printed today. What do you think? Absolutely agree with you. I came to that conclusion a long time ago that these are contractions and transliterations of the names that we have today. It doesn't matter, you know, God's not going to hold it against anyone if they don't get the pronunciation right. I'm sure we will get it right in the resurrection. All will be revealed, so we can all look forward to that. Yeah. Just so we're not taking part of any of the false miracles, and we don't have any of the marks of the beast. And if we need to examine ourselves and any idolatry or anything else like that, if the Holy Spirit's been working on you, you know the work he's done in you so far by the changes he's made in you. And you know that he's still working on you as long as you live in this mortal body. There's always room for improvement. But me, I want to stick around. Yes. I want to stick around as long as I can and serve God. I mean, I really don't have anything else to do with my life that is very important at all, you know, except to serve God and to serve the saints in his kingdom, to bring them to a better understanding of, especially in the times that we live in, of what's going on in the world out there and where we can find our place in it. Let's see, anything else? Looks like that's really it. Okay. And Ty gave us a little, testimony there in the chat room. Yep. It's a tough road to hoe there for you, Ty, but I quit smoking when I was 30. I smoked 17 years from time I was 13 years old until I was 30 years old. And on my 30th birthday, after working on it, after practicing quitting for 8 months, I believe it was about 8 months, I practiced for the day I would quit. I practice quitting before I quit. See, that way I figured if I practiced a while, I could get good at it. So I'd practice for an hour or 2 hours, just make myself quit for an hour. And then I figured out, oh, after I quit for so many hours, so many times, I figured I could do this. And I did it. When I woke up on my 30th birthday, I never smoked another cigarette. So praise God. Yeah, hallelujah. But yeah, because Ty was talking about smoking. And it's a heavy addiction. It's a hard addiction. And I really feel for people who are caught up in it. Yeah. I know some brothers in Christ that smoke. But those are the least of the things that God is working on them. And I guess that's the way it was. And believe me, I did not become sinless at 30 when I quit smoking. I probably became worse, you know. I don't know. It's because I made an accomplishment. Maybe a little pride got in there or whatever. But all I know is that God is very patient for me, has been very patient with me for the last 50 years. Yeah, that's what it's been. Because it was 19, I was 19 when he adopted me. And, yeah, well, add 50 to that and you can figure out how old I am, since I'm talking about getting my 3 score and 10 here pretty soon. It probably wouldn't have made it this long if I had kept smoking. That's for sure. Yeah. But no, it's not depending on us or anything that we've done. Yeah. It's all Jesus, man. It's all what he did. I'm sure that even someone who's still smoking hasn't been able to overcome that terrible addiction. It's God has been working on you anyway, and you know that. If the Holy Spirit's been working in you, you know that, and you know you belong to him. Okay, well, that's about all I have time for today. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. Thank you for the few questions there, and I look forward to all seeing you all again. Spread this around in your social media and whatever kind of help to keep the work here going at First Amendment Radio, help it grow as little as it grows. We have a very unique ministry here, one that not too many people want to participate in. Okay, there's a sound. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.